This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, please. Good morning.
Good morning.
Diane.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I want that's a question. The moderators, when they're coming on air, they can say what they want to hear?
No, only on a Sunday we have a specific topic. You're free to speak responsibly, of course.
No, I'm talking about the moderators. You came on this morning, and you said you talk about the small business.
I said what was on my mind. I didn't say what was on yours or anybody else's. I spoke about what was on my mind. I'm free to do that. Likewise, okay. You're free to do what's on your mind.
Yeah, but I want to know if you all forget the other general report.
Okay.
The water works. I don't hear none of the moderators talk about that.
That's not true. Mr. David Ellis sat in this chair the day after it came out and drew a lot of attention to it, and people had other things they wanted to discuss, and he felt that it needed to be discussed. So
the Auditor General report is more
feel free to discuss it.
The Auditor General report is more important than what I'm hearing this morning. I heard you talk about level playing field and joking out. This is taxpayers' money that gone $1.4 million, and I hear you all talking about it.
So of all the things I said this morning, the only two sentences you took was joking out I and level playing field. Okay. So feel free to tell us about your thoughts about the Auditor General's report and what you feel, if it, you know, pull out anything you want to pull out on it.
Well, you can't talk about that. That's
but I'm giving you the opportunity to pick up. Sir,
sir,
you know the greatest learner is the best listener. One sec. I'm giving you that opportunity. If you feel that we didn't shed enough light on it, even though I was trying to tell you that Mr. David Ellis, from the moment it came out, it was part of his preamble. He was talking about it. The point is, no, you need to stick it. No, hold on. We're having a conversation. All I'm trying to do is to let you know, even if you didn't hear it, what occurred. You are here now, and we would all love to hear what your take is on it. The floor is yours. Go ahead.
What I'm saying, and I don't want to speak too long on this air, I would love to hear some more about the Auditor General's report for the Water Works Department.
Who do you want to hear from, sir?
That's all I want to hear.
But who do you want to hear from?
Stop trying to make somebody believe that the Minister of Commerce or Small Business is doing something that is wrong about it.
Wait, I'm lost for words. Hold on one second. You want us to shed...
I know you've been lost for words.
No, because I'm giving you... But sir, I'm giving you the opportunity right here, right now. Speak to us, speak to the country about the Auditor General's report and the Barbados Water Authority. Is that what you're referring to? Give us your thoughts. Let's have that conversation. Okay, well, there you go. Well, anyone else who wants to weigh in on the Barbados Water Authority's Auditor General report, for the sake of the gentleman's listening pleasure, feel free to weigh in. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
Greetings to you.
Greetings to you, too.
Mr. John Connell and all listeners, Brass Tacks family. Mr. Hick, from time to time, as I listen to you on the radio, you let us know that you have a profound belief in God. But you would also like to know what it means to be a Christian. I think I'm correct.
I don't know what it means to be a Christian, but I believe in God.
Right. Okay, let me help you here now, right? To be a Christian is an invitation to be a follower of Christ. It is not something that you're born with. It is not something to be forced on you. It is an individual choice. At Matthew 16:24, Jesus said these words. If anyone wants to come after me, let him disown himself, pick up its torture stick, which you normally call the cross, and continually follow me. The word if suggests it's a choice. All right, that's the first thing. And as you say, those who are true Christians have full faith that Jesus Christ is God's specially anointed one and only begotten Son, the promised seed who sacrifices human life as a ransom and was resurrected, exalted to the right hand of Jehovah, receive authority to subdue enemies and vindicate Jehovah's sovereignty. Christians view the Bible as the inspired word of God, absolute truth, and beneficial for teaching and disciplining mankind. More is required of true Christians than a mere confession of faith. It is necessary that belief be demonstrated by work and action. Those who become Christians repent, turn around, dedicate their lives to Jehovah, worship and serve him, and then submit to water baptism. They keep themselves clean from fornication, from idolatry, and blood. They strip off all personalities with their fits of anger, obscene talk, lying, stealing, drunkenness, and things like these, and bring their lives in accord with Bible principles. The Apostle Peter wrote, "Let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. You're not to get into people's business and gossip. You're supposed to be kind and considerate, mind-tempered, long-suffering, lovingly exercising self-control. And to conclude, they provide and care for their own and love their neighbors as themselves. The main identifying quality of true Christians are recognized in their outstanding love they have toward one another. And Jesus said, by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love among them."
Okay.
So, mm-hmm. You fit in there, man.
Okay.
So, you know that?
I'm taking your word for it. You know?
Yes.
If that is your opinion, that I do.
Yeah, but all you got to do now is take the invitation.
All right. I've been hearing similar sentiments over the last 2 weeks. I will let you know that.
Okay.
Being sent my way. So maybe I need to pay more attention to those, to information that was just shared, like yours. I probably need to pay more attention to it when it's being shared to me in the way you have. I want to thank you, though. Always refreshing to hear you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good morning. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling from the St. John area. I want to talk about the breadfruit and rice. And what Marcel said is true. Breadfruit and rice is very good.
Okay, but you got to tell me what Marcel said so that I can understand about the breadfruit and the rice.
She told Kimberly.
Okay.
That you
but
have.
That's all right. That's all right. Oh, okay. Wrong. Okay, no problem. This is Down to Brass Tacks. My hand is not on the button, producer. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm a first-time caller.
Well, welcome to the program.
I would like to speak on the truth about what that lady discussed with you this morning with the accident.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you the truth. Every time, I live just on the right-hand side. I'm a neighbor, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Every time it rains in that corner, every time, there's always accidents right in there. What I would love to see happen, I don't know if the government would do it, that left side of the road going down, if they can rough that area up, that's a part of that road, or pour something up there stating to the drivers, dangerous, slippery when wet. It would save lives, I'm sure about that. And accidents, because I remember one day I was here, and within less than 10 minutes, they had three accidents right in the same area.
Wow.
So something has to be done or should be done, because it happens all the time. And I'll tell you the truth. I'm so happy that nobody have gotten, really seriously hurt there. I don't know if we can actually get together as the neighbors in the area and petition something to the government where they can look into it and either rough up the left-hand side or place something up there indicating to the drivers when they're coming down, be very cautious, as far as that's concerned. But, I guess that, we'll see exactly what happened.
Well, the mere fact you came on the radio, and just give us the name of the road again.
It's that Bennett's Road that pushes you back down from Highway 2A, pushes you back down to Highway 1.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that may happen for quite some time, because like I said, I live over there, I'm next door. Every accident that takes place there, and I'm in a house, I can hear it, because it's like, hey, it's not really far. You can see the cars going up and down. And it happens, it happens very, very often.
Well, I hope the powers that be can hear and maybe take a trip down there.
I would love to
see
that too. I would, yes.
What it looks like and what can be done with that street. Okay?
It is dangerous when it's wet, yeah. Thanks a lot. Have a blessed one.
You too. Thank you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning, my dear. How are you?
I'm good. What about you? Are you in a good mood today?
I'm always in a good mood.
Just checking. Just want to make sure.
I love being in a good mood.
Good.
There's nothing better than being in a good mood. You see, it's like stress is a killer, so you got to try not to get this stress. And like I tell people, when the road is rough, I drive in low gear. I want to explain something here about what the lady said relative to the accident and the gentleman who called. That is when you go across Highway 2A and you make the left to go down through Sandy Lane. And you go down through past the Blowers Junction on the left and you go around the corner. There are trees down there. So the road is smooth, it is smooth. And therefore, obviously, the moss and whatever from the trees and so on underneath there causes it to be slimy or slippery or whatever. So, yes, I agree with him. They might need to roughen the road somewhat. Even if they put signs, some people will still be in trouble because it's very small. If you walk there, you can fall. You know what we were talking about?
Yeah, where the accident occurred. The gentleman described where it was.
And I'm very grateful to know that she's all right. And it's good that she could come back in here and thank those persons who assisted her. All right, the other thing I want to speak about, I've been getting many calls. My name is Erskine Combat, by the way. I've been getting so many calls from people about an ad that is running on the radio and television on your station about calling three numbers at MTW, and they're complaining that they are not getting through. What I would advocate for those listening now, don't call. Go up there and do it yourself. One of the things, too, that even if you call, that person cannot see the permit that you have in your hand to identify if it's valid or not. So it's better for you to go up there. Yes, the wait is long. But don't try calling. And so many people calling me and asking me, why they can't get you? Can't you do it for me? No, we can't do it for you. It's something that you have to do by yourself. The rules now governing that, and they said the learner driver must come and do these things. So don't sit back and wait. Get up and go. I know it's going to be difficult for those who are working and can't leave work, and I believe, yes, a lot of these things might later on be computerized. But how can someone at the office tell you on the phone your data is blah, 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 and they cannot see the validity of the permit? You get where I'm coming from? Because you can tell them anything. I can call, and I said, my name is Fling Slang, and I have a permit. I was supposed for a test, and I want to know when next my test is. Or if they ask me, are your permit valid? Yes, it expires in September, which might be a lie. So therefore, I give them a date.
But then, once you didn't ask for an ID number to help identify...
Yeah, the ID number, that can't help. That can't help. Because your ID number, you could have had that for me for 2 years. Understand? And the computerized system will not tell them.
The system is not streamlined to tell them.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
What happens, what we must understand, BART is something different from licensing. You get me? For them to find out, licensing will then have to call BART, contact BART, to find out if this person's permit is valid. So the best thing to alleviate...
So these two systems don't talk to each other?
They think not.
Oh, okay. Well, see, there lies the problem.
So that is what, okay, remember me complaining all the time about the merit point system. This should have been done from since 1980s. I left the force in 92, and it hasn't been completed. You know the one of the main problems for that? Because MTW, at the time, is not really connected to the police. So if a policeman now wants to find information, he has to head to MTW to get the information. Rain and all tools should be locked into each other, that the police could go into the system and see if Earth can come about vehicle is valid to be on the road. He can't do that. He has to go to the ministry or MTW to get this information. So therefore, it can't work. I know if we have computers, all they know, the right point system should be working. A lot of people that are doing nonsense on the road won't be doing it because the 2 strikes you're out or 3 strikes you're licensing on for 6 months or you're part illegal for X time, these are the penalties. It will put less strain on the court and less strain on the person. So they, until they get those parties going all hand in hand, it ain't going to work. But it can work. Remember that. It can work.
Okay.
You understand me clearly. The last thing I do want to make note is that I am tired of seeing people going through red lights. Ma'am, a red flashing light, the world knows that means you must stop and then proceed with caution. Furthermore, a red light where you gotta stop. There's no way that you should have a red light at all 4 junctions coming from all 4 sides and you get 2 vehicles red stop. That means all 4 parties then stop. You have to stop. I teach my students now that when you come to a light and it says green, don't mind who behind you blowing the horn, count to 3 while you move. Prepare to move and count to 3. Because in that 3, count at least 4 vehicles coming through the red light.
And how many of your students have had accidents over the years?
I don't.
Just curious.
I had one accident, and that was in 1995 or 96.
Okay, well, that's good then. That means you're good.
It wasn't even her fault because the guy came out of the junction left at the back of the vehicle. He said that he must break. He didn't have a break. But that's like.
But do you know that I said that, but maybe there should be a way to find out. Okay, so everybody's book is stamped with who taught you to drive, which school. And then there's some sort of analysis done maybe every 2 years to see how many accidents fell under which category.
Yeah, you can do that. But you see, statistics can be had. But what happens is that we have progressed a lot, but we're still back behind. I mean, it's not like a cross talking and mixing up. This country has gone a long way. A long, long way in certain things. And there's certain things that we are still far back, way back behind. You understand? I honestly believe that the stats would be there and can be there if you want them. But can you access them? It's hard to access. Like me with my students now, I know what most of my students can do and can't do. Only a few days ago, they asked me, why you lend him your truck? He only got a license 2 weeks ago. I loaned him the truck. If he has license and I'm sure that he's capable of driving, I lend him the truck. If he wasn't capable, I would lend him the truck. He has a license. All it says put in diesel. You get where I'm coming from?
I get where you're coming from.
I didn't do that. Don't mind you get license with me. I said, I ain't doing that. But the truth is this, we got to help people. I can't come out of the road and have them carry the things you want to carry. Use the truck, put in diesel, and go along. But some people say, no, he took green. Green? If he green, you're handling it for then. That mean you're ready.
Or it's getting what
under the motor vehicle was traffic at 1981 section 65(3). It states clearly that once you have passed that test with the testing officer, you have satisfied him in accordance with the traffic act that he can drive. So why worry? God bless you and have a wonderful
Thank day. You. Once your track record remains good, keep up the good work in teaching persons how to drive. Before I get to the next caller, I want to read this WhatsApp because normally when I'm here, I don't get to read a lot of them somehow. Good morning, Joanne. I am confused. I live in St. John. The water is always off. I then put in a tank system, which I was advised to do by the minister. Sorry, by minister. She didn't say which one. By minister. However, when I called BWA to put some water in my tank, because the water was off for many days, I was told they are not putting no water in my tank, and my tank is only 400 gallons of water. My question is, why tell us to put in a tank system and still can't get water out of it? I am confused. Very good point. I'm going to take this call and get back to maybe discussing that further. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning, Joanne. How are you doing?
I am okay. What about you?
I am good. I have at least three points to make this morning. When you leave St. Louis Church and you're going to the west, St. Louis Church in St. James, as you go around that corner, over a year ago, there was a burst pipe there. And, you know, when you fix the roads, sometimes it remains. in a state of disrepair. Mm-hmm. And they put two cans there. So it's been over a year, and these two cans are right by this bridge. So I am appealing to those who are responsible, whether it's MPW, whether it is the Barbados Water Authority, to remove those cans. They are very dangerous. Someone coming down that hill and not having sight of it, especially if you're traveling pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The hill, and normally vehicles travel, whether it's a bicycle, motorcycle, or a car, you know. And you meet up on those cans, and somebody's coming in the opposite direction, you're willing to have an accident.
But the cans are there to protect, what, a trench?
No, there's no trench. There was a burst main.
Right.
You know when you fill it, it's just like mud and dirt, but no barber green over it.
Right. Is it a high heap, or just more or less will be flattened by the cars?
No, it's not low. It's just normal.
Okay.
It has been left in a state of disrepair for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, that there were other birds on that hill.
Mm-hmm.
And they patched the areas of barber green, but somehow they neglected that area with those two cans. I don't know why. It's dangerous, and it needs to be moved.
Let me ask you something, and not saying it's your responsibility. If you saw something in the road that shouldn't be in, and it's not protecting a trench or anything, should we not maybe look to get out and maybe just slide it across away from the problem area, the area that could impact the traffic?
My thinking is that it was placed there by MCW or the Water Authority, and a private citizen should not move it. I don't know what was their reasoning at the time. I could only see from my observation.
See, that's why I asked if there was an actual still of a trench. Is it something that has a little descent, or is it... Is it the moral is in it too high that they're just waiting to come and get a tractor or whatever, is the roller, sorry, to just roll over it? So that's why I asked you, is it a case of something you can actually drive over?
Yes, you can drive over, but what I'm saying is you move the cars and patch the area back with barber green like you did with the other places on that same hill. I don't like the idea of those two cans there. Suppose you're traveling down there at night, or probably an old person. And when sometimes when you see things are running, you're right on them, and then it's too late.
Yes, of course.
That's just one point. And I was going to make the point that there are three governments who actually live in this area who have to traverse that same road and see those cans, and nothing has been done. Three, not one, three of them. Anyway.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I just have a different position. I figure if there's nothing there, I can't see the reason for them being there. There's no open trench. There's no, you know, I figured so that I can live and survive. I live in the area. I would have to move them because I live in the area too. I mean, I can understand if you don't live in the area and you're not sure why, but because you go up and down there and it's your community, you're risking, you know, you're just going to have to move them. You should move them.
It's dangerous. Not only is it dangerous, but... Right now, they're doing installing traffic lights at the bottom of that hill. So the person is actually working in close proximity to where the two cans are. The cans are just in the hill itself by the bridge. So I don't believe that if it is a private contractor or Ministry of Transport and Works, maybe it's Ministry of Transport and Works.
It changes from time to time. It depends. Sometimes I understand it used to be the Water Authority. If they created the trench, then they would have to backfill and maybe get somebody privately to do it, or they will get MTW, but not sure what are the rules now. It could be either or. But somebody's responsible for it. That much I can say. All right.
Okay, my second point is...
Go ahead.
Shelters. Could you tell me if our hurricane shelters all have water tanks and generators?
I can tell you... what it was in 2018, I'm not sure what it is now, and the answer to that question is no, they all don't have those things.
And I'm saying that is
at that time, I don't know what it is now.
They should be doing that now instead of waiting. Be proactive. And when I'm on that point, we had a national shutdown for COVID. There were lots of hotels, there are lots of houses, guest houses and all that, which were closed. Mosquitoes love places which are dark and uninhabited. Right now, there's an increase in the breeding of mosquitoes in Barbados. And I've seen private homeowners in, you know, these large developments hiring the person to do fogging. I'm saying that now is the time, if it hasn't started as yet, for the government to start their fogging program. We need to be ahead of the curve when it comes to dengue and Zika and controlling mosquito population. Because if you've got a hotel closed up for 2-3 weeks, even 2 months, you'll be surprised at how many mosquitoes will be in the area of the pool and the rooms. And you need to be proactive and start the fogging if it hasn't started.
No, more importantly, we need to make sure that we keep our surroundings free of such containers that can actually assist in the breeding of mosquitoes as well.
But remember that we were a national shutdown, and a lot of things that people would have done, maybe a lot of properties were closed and all that. So persons didn't have access to them, you know, to remove, like, containers that could hold water and things like that. Okay, on the third thing, I heard Mark Williams spoke about removal of Lord Nelson and selling it to somebody in overseas. And I totally disagree with Mark. That's the kind of thinking that informed the owners of the beachfront land on the West Coast that sold their land. And now they have, well, if they have some of the money probably or don't have any. What I'm saying is, you can keep Nelson in a museum and have persons come here and pay to see him rather than to sell him one thing. It's like a sheep head is there worth more than the cow head. Is it? Yeah. A sheep head a day is worth more than
the cow head. Okay.
Right, so you don't have to have a lump sum of money.
No, I understand.
Right.
Well,
from that...
Again, yes, well, let me thank you. And yes, I heard Mark talk about his opinion, and you have yours as to what we should all do with Nelson. And the discussion continues on Nelson, but I'm pretty much sure I heard the Prime Minister said that the country will weigh in. And when that time is right, hopefully people would make their decisions, and the majority, I guess, will have their way. And then we will know what we will do with Nelson. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, Ms. Tig.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes. No, first time calling?
Yes, welcome. Welcome.
Yes. Now, I am speaking on behalf of the people from St. John and surrounding areas, and also for the people in Barbados. Mm-hmm. No. We seem to have a problem with the water authority. Every evening, the water goes off in St. John, and it does not come back till 7:30 the next day, the next morning. Now, I think that we could do better than this. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, my idea here is that there are some areas that I could identify. Tree houses, pot house, bath, Newcastle, and Concept Bay. There's water running into the sea every day. Good weather or bad weather, water is running all the time. I think that it's time that the Water Authority come up with a measure that could trap that water and pump it back into the reservoir so that the reservoir could be replenished. How would that sound to you?
Well, okay, let me go back to what the minister said this morning. I didn't hear everything, but Dr. Mwanz, I believe, spoke. When they spoke about the rain situation and so on and so forth, one of the questions I have, and I can't really answer yours, but I want it answered from the BWA, for the people of St. John.
Mm-hmm.
We heard about the Vineyard project. Vineyard will bring, when it's finished, Vineyard will bring water to Stuart Hill in St. Philip, and from there it goes to Bowminston. In order to do that, they need to build a reservoir in Stuart Hill by Mount Pleasant. They need to have a booster from Vineyard to boost the water to Stuart Hill, and another booster from there to boost the water to St. John. Now, I remember back in the days when they took water from Sweetvale in that basin, and I actually pulled up the video the other day to say to the residents of St. Joseph, you need to conserve water still. Even though you're getting water from another area and there's a drought, that will dry up too at some point. I don't know if that is the case with the Sweetvale Basin, with water going into the St. George Valley, if that is dry, and why people in St. Joseph, I can get back to St. John now, not getting water. Now, here's the question I have for St. John. And I am not an engineer, so let me declare my hands early for somebody to say that I behave in a king. I know why I'm saying, I'm asking a question. Bomiston water, as far as I heard or remember, is a combination of what we call like an getting from water from the aquifer type of thing, like a well and like a river, a stream, an underground stream. So when the rain falls, this stream, like how the springs in St. Andrew will fill up quickly. I don't know if you've ever been in the country and the rainfall for 2 seconds. Sometimes the water comes over the bridge, shooting all over the place. Right. So the question I have is, you can go into this stream and maybe stand up, and you know how high this level is. So if you go, if you're at waist level, you know, or ankle level, you know we're in a drought, we know the water isn't coming. But we've had a significant amount of rain for the last month or so. Now, I do know that it takes 90 days for the water to get to the aquifer, to get into the system. But what I'm asking is the setup at Bomiston a combination of that and river? Because every time the rain falls at Round Bomiston, the water turns brown and it hits you directly, which means there's a direct impact of catching water for it to go into the system, for it to be brung immediately. Now, I could be wrong. I'm just using a little bit of logic. If the rain is falling and the system at Bomiston is a combination, if you want to call it combination, between waiting for water to get there the 90 days, but getting water directly as well for the, what you call the underground river, when the rain falls, then why are we not seeing a little bit more water in Bomiston for the people of St. John? Now, I am not the engineer. Maybe Dr. Mwanza may call and answer that, but I think it deserves an answer.
I have a good idea where we could replenish how we could replenish the reservoirs.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I am not an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
With qualifications. I am saying that at night, when the water goes off, the pipe is empty, right? Is that right?
When the water, say that again?
When, at night.
Uh-huh.
At night, when the water in the St. John area is off, mm-hmm. the main is supposed to be empty, right?
Well, one would think, yes, that there's nothing in the main, hence nothing good coming through your tap.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, what I'm saying is, during the day, where you have all that water just going into the sea, you should have some tanks around the area that the water will run straight into the tank. And at night, when the water in the St. John area is off, you could pump that water back into the main, which will go right back into the reservoir. And then you'll be able to supply the customers the next day. I may even do that on a daily basis. At some time or another, your reservoir has to come up.
Sorry, I'm pumping it from where? Into the main? Pumping it from where?
No, since we have so much water wasting going into the sea,
uh-huh.
We identify these five areas here. That water comes up to the ground and runs into the sea. Okay? I am saying that if you get the people that these stores build some tanks,
mm-hmm.
out of concrete tanks, mm-hmm. that could be bolted together. You could get the spring to run into those tanks, and then you will get the water authority to pump that water into the main at night when the pipes are empty.
Yeah, but you can't take it straight from the spring like that. It still has to be treated.
Okay, we'll send it to some treatment plant and let it go back to the mm-hmm. Reservoir.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I don't think it, even if you use something called surface water has to be treated probably even more than groundwater because it can get contaminated quickly, faster. So that may not be, but I guess the question I'm asking, out of all of the stations in Barbados, is Bomiston the only station that can possibly be replenished based on rainfall faster than any of the other stations? And that is the question I ask. I ask that because it's like you can literally go into Bormanston. You could stand up in the water then. You could, like a river.
Yeah,
so if it is that when the rain falls, so somebody says it wasn't a significant amount of rainfall, actually, you just have to have a heavy downpour for like an hour straight. You see how fast roads get flooded in this country. So
right.
I'm just asking if that was a possibility that that can happen or if it's happening. And if so, do they have to wait the 90 days? Do they have to wait the end of the year? Because the report, according to Starcom, said people of St. John may have to wait a lot longer until the end of the year in order to see a more consistent flow of water. And I'll be honest with you, if I was living in St. John and having to hear that, knowing that we only halfway through the year, it's hard. But if it is, you know, Water Authority can't make rainfall, which which I get. But I just wanted to know what that situation was at Bormanston. And is it the only station that if rain falls, you would get to see a direct improvement faster than the other stations? So I could be wrong, but just asking. Is that it, sir? Final word for you?
No, seeing that so much water is being wasted running into the sea and so on, I figured that you could trap that water and send it back to the reservoir through a treatment plant.
Well, a lot of people figure that, of course, you can trap water and use this surface water. There's many ways, but there's a lot of money involved in the many ways to do things. And the Water Authority, for this particular project, I understand that they're doing from Vineyard to Stuart Hill to Bormanston, and they're working on is a good set of money to get it done. But I understand the long-term issues for the BWA. What I think that they can do better is the immediate plan. When you see videos of a tanker driving past some person and not giving them water, when you're hearing stories of we don't have water but we are being treated like animals or it being inhumane, I think that when you can't give a service to a person the traditional way, then you need to make up for it in another way. I also believe that the bills that people are complaining about, someone just sent a message, which I will read shortly, of a $7,000 of a water bill. And again, we could talk about being equal and everybody's being charged and using the same meter, but everybody really can't pay the bill in the same way that others can. So hence the reason why we have to treat some people a little different when it comes to big bills because of a leak. Maybe they didn't see it and they woke up to something for $7,000. How do you then tell someone you got to pay the money right away, or you have a payment plan, but then the payment plan is not negotiated because it's either your way or no way at all, you know? So I think that they have a lot of issues and actually, that's even an understatement to say that they have a lot of issues. They have many issues, and it's not easy for them. But I believe where there's the low-hanging fruit, Water Authority can do a lot better. So
great.
Thank you, sir, very much for your contribution. Down to Brass Tacks, you are on the air. Go
Hello,
ahead.
Good afternoon.
Good morning.
Well, it's not afternoon yet.
You got me looking at the clock, looking around, wondering,
yeah.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Joy. Up and on.
Up and on. Okay, I can now relax back in my chair now when I hear that. Go ahead.
Listen, I've been hearing all the talk about water.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get our water from the aquifers. And the day that Mother Nature deals us a blow, which could be any time, we cannot depend on the aquifers. So we really need to look at a permanent water source.
Mm-hmm.
And the only permanent water source that you can think of is desalination.
Agreed.
So we have to stop saying it's very expensive because from now till whenever we die or we are on this earth, we need to drink water. We really have to look at using a permanent source. And that is the only source that I really feel we can use.
I agree with you. And I think that desal, I know, I understand it's very expensive, huh? And we have a desal plant. I think Sandy Lane has one too as well for seawater. If I'm not mistaken, it's the only seawater one we have. The one on the Mighty Griner Highway is not a seawater desal plant. It's a brackish water desal plant. So there are packaged plants that, remember, Water Authority set up a packaged plant in St. Lucie. I'm not sure if it's working now, but it still had a kind of a long shelf life. And it was able to supply the people, augment the system for the people in St. Lucie. So, you know, I believe discussions are ongoing. I would like to think so. But if you can put in some temporary packaged plants, for what you call saltwater, seawater packaged plants, and maybe plumb it into the system for the people of St. John and St. Joseph, I mean, I'm not saying that it's an overnight thing, but it took them a couple of weeks, maybe 2 months, to do the packaged plant in the north. It can really take them a year to get that done. So,
yeah, so
it's expensive, but not as expensive as the permanent ones. But the permanent ones would be the answer. But of course, all of these things, as they're saying, not as they're saying, all of these things actually cost money. So we know that.
Yeah, but if we keep doing patchwork all the time, at the end of the day, 10 years down the road, and we're still doing patchwork, you know, you could have, you know, invested in a desal or some desal system. We really got to get away from depending on the aquifers, because it's not sustainable.
But do you know why they have to do the patchwork? They have no choice. Because, you can't disrupt an entire, to dig up a main, a whole, not that they can't, they've done it when they replace mains, and in areas they do something called a bypass, which means this main is above ground and it can feed everybody while they continue to do the work to replace the main that they want. So yes, when you're fixing a regular burst, you don't have time to do all of that, because that's planned work. You have to plan that. So when you're doing an emergency repair, of course you're not looking to put in 6 lengths of pipe. You may at least put in 2, so that the next time it bursts further down, eventually you may have a new main, but you still have to do it piece, because you need to get the water back on for the people as quickly as possible. It's not easy, huh?
You sound like if you're saying that you need to just plan it, because if you're putting in a desal system, obviously, the same time you're doing that, you would think that you want to put in new infrastructure for pipes that would run this desal, a feed from the desal. So it's a combination of both things, and you will be rehabilitating and fixing the old system. Mm-hmm. You could also be mapping the new system onto some geological mapping system.
I think that's what they're doing. When you plan, what I'm saying is that you plan those types of things with the mains replacement. You plan what areas are going into. You know what mains you're replacing. You know the size. You know what kind of bypass you have to put in. But I'm saying to do something like that for like emergency repair, which happens like 10 times a day, the shut off here, the shut off there, you know. But my problem, if anything, and I understand that of the people in St. John and St. Joseph and St. Thomas, whereas people want to understand the challenges of the Barbados Water Authority, what they don't like is the fact that, A, you are not giving us water in between by the tanker in a way that you can. You are still charging us for water and so on and so forth, and it frustrates them to know that they have to buy bottled water and still pay the Water Authority, et cetera, et cetera, and I could go on.